This is a serious message to everybody watching my update right now. Peace and love, peace and love. I want to tell you, please, after the 20th of October, do not send fan mail to any address that you have. Nothing will be signed after the 20th of October. If that has a date on the envelope, it's going to be tossed. I'm warning you with peace and love, but I have too much to do. So no more fan mail. Thank you, and no objects to be signed. Nothing. Anyway, peace and love, peace and love.
Well, this podcast is entirely entertaining.
Now, what you heard there was a very, very important public service announcement from Ringo Starr. Just please do not send him any more mail. I know a lot of us, I've personally sent him statues I've sculpted. I've sent him albums and albums worth of material. And by albums, vinyl. You know, I would make them, I would specially press this vinyl with my songs. One of a kind copy, sent it off to Ringo. And, you know, just, but that was after I saw this video. So I just finally saw this video. So now it's making sense why I'm not getting any of my stuff signed or sent back to me or whatnot. I mean, yeah, some of that stuff was gifts. You know, like I sent him a bunch of doodles that I make when I'm talking on the phone. Stuff like that. Pictures of trees and stuff like that. I know he's a painter, so I thought maybe it could inspire him. So, yeah, by the time I already sent all that stuff, I mean, I'm talking, you wouldn't believe. Ringo Starr. So just don't send him any stuff. If you expect him to sign it. If you want it to go into his trash, because it's kind of an archive, if you think about it. It's an archive. It's saved. The main archive is a landfill somewhere in the area where he resides, at one of those addresses that you send the stuff to. If for nothing more, perhaps his assistants, maybe he lets them open them up and have them, so. That in itself would be fun, just to say, my stuff ended up in Ringo Starr's garbage. So that was Ringo Starr. We also heard a very nice endorsement from Forgotten Tales. You also heard that. I'd also like to mention, this right here is, as of the time I'm creating this, this is May 26th, 2018. Yeah, by the way, you're listening to Inspirato Projecto. I'm your host, CEC, and you will hear lots of varietals. Lots of varietals. June 3rd is the next Yachtly Crew shindig, if you'd like to call it that. Some call it Yacht Rock Party, others call it Time Travel, Dream Cruise through the 70s and 80s, Love Song Classics. Everyone's got their own sort of ship rock. Some folks show up and get ship-faced, dancing a ship rock, ship rock. So this will be at Cronies Sports Grill out there in Simi Valley, summer kickoff party. Now, I've heard that there are a lot of UFO sightings out there in Simi Valley. So, if it all goes well, we'll have a UFO sighting, just like what happened at that Jimi Hendrix concert out there in Hawaii on the volcano. UFO sighting. They saw it, stopped, watched the show, and then flew off. All these witnesses saw it, so ideally that thing will happen with Yachtly Crew. So, without further ado, I know a lot of you have heard me talk about Yachtly Crew. Yeah, perhaps maybe you haven't investigated any of the videos or heard any of what Yachtly Crew is capable of. So, here is Yachtly Crew Live at Viper Room. And I'd like to see. I know I left notes on this thing. I
know I left notes on this thing.
Oh, yes, here we go. Yachtly Crew performs Fooled Around and Fell in Love by Elvin Bishop at the Vipe Room on Sunset Strip, 6/23/2017. So that was almost a year ago. Yachtly Crew's been together for a little over a year and a half, maybe at this point. A lot of steam moving. So here we go. I'm going to attach it on here for you. And by the way, that show was sold out. If you look on YouTube, Yachtly Crew sold out Viper Room. Yikes. Yikes McFikes. You'll see how long that line was. Here we go.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Mickey Dolenz here. You're listening to Inspirato Projecto.
Astrum, or in old language, a couple thousand years ago, disciples, those who are trying to prepare themselves for entry into the evolutionary level above human, synonymous with the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. We're going to talk to you about the most urgent thing that is on our mind, and what we suspect is the most urgent thing on the minds of those who will connect with us. We'll title this tape Planet Earth About to Be Recycled. Your only chance to evacuate is to leave with us. Planet Earth About to Be Recycled. Your only chance to survive or evacuate is to leave with us. Now, that's a pretty major statement, pretty bold in terms of religion, in terms of anybody's intelligent thinking. To most people who would consider themselves intelligent beings, that say, "Oh, that's absurd. What's all this doomsday stuff? What's all this prophetic stuff?" You know, intelligent human beings should realize that everything has their cycle. They have their season. They have their beginning. They have their end. They have cycles. We're not saying that planet Earth is coming to an end. We're saying that planet Earth is about to be refurbished, spaded under, and have another chance to serve as a garden for another human. Now, the reason this is such an interesting time is not only because we're on the threshold of the end of this civilization, because it's about to be recycled, but because of where that finds us, where that finds you, where that finds those who would judge us, how we would speak of them, and how they would speak of us. Now, you say, you keep saying us. Who do you think you are? Well, I, in all honesty, must acknowledge my father. My father is not a human father. My father is a member of the evolutionary level above human, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Gave me birth into that kingdom before this civilization began. Now, I'm not here to sell you on that, or who I am, or who these are. I'm here to offer you, as these are, an opportunity to know the truth, so that if you can connect with it at any level, then you might survive the respading or the recycling that is about to occur.
It's time to brush your teeth, fam. Brush your teeth, fam. Brush your teeth, brush your teeth, brush your teeth, fam. Brush your teeth, bro. Brush your teeth, sis. Brush your teeth, brush your teeth, brush your teeth, fam.
Brush your teeth, 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 brush your teeth Ugh.
I brush them teeth, fam. I brush them teeth, fam. I brush them teeth. I brush them teeth. I brush them teeth.
The whole baggage thing in the morning.
Wait, so they didn't explain to you why they...
Well, I guess I missed the baggage claim by 1 minute. Hmm?
So what happened after that?
Yeah, I missed checking my bag. I was like, but I'm 55 minutes early. And she's like, yeah, we stop. And I got there at like 8 o'clock or something like that.
8 a.m.?
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, we stop it at like 7, like 58 or something like that. And I was like, okay, that doesn't make any sense. And she's like, well, you can just get a later one. And I was like, okay, then. So I did, and then I found out that I gotta pay $75 to do that. And it's like, alright.
What?
Bastards, dude.
It's interesting how you learn this stuff after you're already there. Like, they won't let you know about this until you get there, and then you... Oh, man, that's crazy.
Yeah, what a totally...
So you waited around, or how long did you wait around for the next airplane?
Well, you got a mic thing.
Yeah. How long did you wait around?
Are you interviewing me?
Yes. How long did you wait around for until the next airplane?
Long walks on the beach, Sorry,
Kurt, what? You'll be going out to iTunes before you know it. So did they at least give you any pretzels on the plane?
No, I got tea biscuits.
Good. Oh. Did you have some tea to dip them into?
No.
Did you have black coffee?
No, I had Dunkin' Donuts.
Now, you didn't have any pretzels, but did you have any pretzels?
Pretzels?
Oh, so it wasn't...
Beer nuts either.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't British Airways, after all. What airline did you take?
American.
Oh, gotcha.
British Airways is actually...
Oh, so they...
Airlines is actually a really good airline.
Oh, it is? Did they give you Vegemite on the plane?
That would be Qantas.
Oh. Have you been on that one?
No. According to Rain Man, it's the only one that's never crashed.
Now, wouldn't it be interesting if the big reveal of Qantas Airlines is that all of the flight attendants wear kangaroo masks. So that would be awesome, right? Yeah. Or koalas and kangas.
They should give you a koala for all the first class members.
Oh, that's good. Oh, wouldn't it be great if the whole plane was just filled with koalas that you get to pet while you're flying?
And then someone's going to go, well, koalas are evil.
Oh, gee. And as soon as that revelation hits, all of a sudden the koalas start eating the people.
Every time I say that I want a koala, people always have to say, oh, they're evil. They'll, like, scratch you and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, dude, so a sloth, but, I mean, I still want a sloth.
They read some random article when...
Sloths are pretty chill, though.
Yeah, but they got, like, super long nails. And I guess
they'll hurt.
You do piss them off, yeah, they'll take a swipe at you.
Oh, it's a very slow swipe.
Yeah, right. It's like super slow.
Yes, you can always see. You can
get out of the way.
Like a Matrix. Matrix kind of move. So a fight between sloths is like watching a Matrix fight.
And they're always smiling, though.
Yeah, they are.
I don't see why they would ever get
I know. That makes no sense whatsoever. They got the built-in smile.
I guess they're like the ones that are in the wild. Are all like, they're almost like a green hue because they need this algae that goes on their fur.
Oh. And they roll around in the algae like a pig in mud?
No, it just grows on them. You know,
the algae grows on them?
Yeah, because they just, they live in the trees or something like that. So just the algae, like, kind of just grows on their fur and protects them.
So they're, like, part animal, part plant. The first plant-animal hybrid that I've ever heard.
It's part of, like, I don't know what they were saying, like, almost like a camouflage. You know what I mean? So, like, people can't find them. But I saw a video of them, like, trying to catch her. Capture like them and shit, you know? And they're like bastards about it. They'll like shoot them with a trank dart and they're like high up in the tree and so they just fall.
Oh, God.
And shit like that, you know? So they bring
I don't
want to
hear
them.
That.
So wait, so do these sloths move faster when they're being chased?
No.
So they move just as slow from 1 minute to the next, no matter what is going on.
They're doing it just for tourists, you know? Like, they sell them to like those like zoos, you know? Put a sloth on you.
Well, no, what I'm curious about is with sloths, like, do you think they're just slow, like, just all the time and no matter what they're doing?
Mm-hmm.
That is interesting. Like a turtle. The turtle of the trees.
Ew.
That's turtle of the trees.
I think we've just discovered something very important here, is that sloths are indeed the turtles of the trees.
Well, I did find out that turtles only know a mile radius of their home, and they, like, memorize it like an elephant almost, you know? And so if you move a turtle, like, from its home or that mile radius, they'll spend a lifetime trying to find that again.
Oh my gosh, so then their whole motivation from that point forward is to try to find home.
So all those times that, like, you know, I don't know if you guys ever did that when you were a kid, you know, the little turtles with the little red stripe on their head and stuff like that, you know?
We would catch
get them out of the pond, you know, and, like, capture them.
Mm-hmm. So they're always just trying to get back home.
Yeah, they're always trying to, like, get back to that mile radius.
Aww. So do they have, like, an...
So they're almost living in, a life of chaos, you know? Cause, like, where's my home? It's, you know, almost like OCD. Mm.
So they've lost the map. Like, the...
Where's my home? If it was the stoner turtle and finding...
Where's my home?
Can anyone help me find my home?
Where did it go? Lost my way again. What am I playing? What am I playing, The Legend of Zelda? Am I in the Lost Forest again? I lost my radius. I gone during lost my radius again. While we're at it, where are my car keys? Sure would like to have some bubble gum. Where is that?
There was a giant, prehistoric looking snapping turtle that, like, found its way, like, in the middle of the road.
Mm.
So, like, everybody on their lunch, like, went out and, like, was, like, looking at it and stuff, and somebody tried picking it up, and they were, like, all scared and shit.
Jeez. Know? So how do they know that thing was prehistoric?
It looked prehistoric.
Like, it had seen the birth of the T-Rex?
It was from the Paleolithic era.
Well, that'd be interesting if that actual tortoise, or turtle... like, was the very first turtle to ever witness the birth of the very first ever T-Rex. That'd be interesting. Mm. And just nobody had any idea about that.
It probably was, like, super old, though, because it was huge.
How many times throughout its life do you think people try to ride on its back?
Four.
Was it a big one?
Yeah, it was like that.
Like a Galapagos Island turtle?
No, not a Galapagos.
Oh. Size of a schnauzer.
The shell was about
a ruler.
So, I bet you if there are kids around, they'd probably put their G.I. Joe guys on its back.
Totally.
Oh my god, or their Never-Ending Story action figures.
Some little punk's gonna, like, tag
the
shell.
Or Barbies. Riding on the giant.
Riding on turtle. The giant turtle, yes. Goliath, where are you, my boy? And it comes galloping in, this big turtle. Goliath, where are you, my boy? Suddenly got hooves. Little do we realize that turtles always had hooves. Clomp, clomp.
Natural hooves.
Yeah. You can do it, my boy. Get through that obstacle course. Whoa, turtles now growl. That'd be so awesome. That'd be awesome. I mean, dude, just imagine if someone... There's probably some scientist somewhere who has figured out how to make the sloth faster. Someone has genetically altered its... The... Swifty sloth. They call it Sloth 2.0. And now, I present to you Sloth 2.0. I made it in my basement laboratory. With a grant from my uncle. Look at it, it's Sloth 2.0. Go get it. And he throws a banana and it runs after it. With that smile on its face.
With their little wee legs.
Yeah, yeah. You know, a sloth would be perfect if it were a comedian. Wouldn't that be great? You know, you could teach a sloth to tell jokes and it's always smiling. It's always smiling at its own jokes. It's always very pleased with its own humor. Oh gosh, yes.
Maybe it does talk slow.
Zootopia?
Oh, Zootopia. Yeah.
I've never seen trailers for that. You know what they need to do? They, and by they, it's the, you know, whoever decides to do it, it might even be me. A mashup of Zooropa, the song Zooropa, with Zootopia. Has anyone done that yet?
No, copyright.
A mashup. as the kids call it.
Mash up.
And by kids, I mean
mash
K-I-D-Z.
The button.
Mash the button.
Yeah, I definitely heard that one.
Mash the button, smash the gopher.
I want you to press the button, not mash.
Quietly press the button. With
y'all
compassion.
Mash it like mashed potatoes.
Mash potato, that potato.
I'm going to use a potato masher to mash that button.
Now that would be a great, kind of like the gopher thing, but it's potatoes popping their head out of the dirt and you got to smash the potato. Mash the potato.
Potato.
Mash the potato. That would be a great arcade game, I think.
You like what?
Yeah.
Mash the potato.
It's kind of like that. Are they gophers or like?
Yeah,
yes.
Whack-a-mole.
Those things, yeah, that pop out.
Where are we going?
It's having me go back onto the 101.
Oh.
We're doing it.
Squeeze that lemon. I just drank a lemonade.
It's happening, and it's happening right now. There's
brace
one.
Brace yourselves.
Brace yourselves, because one thing's for sure, it's happening right now. You can't escape it.
Like you're not.
Don't act like you don't know that it's happening right now. You are involved with this too, you know.
You know.
I ain't the only one responsible.
Okay, I'm just gonna go up here.
So what's your next move?
Just following the GPS because I think I missed them.
What does GPS stand for?
Guidance provided service.
Oh, that's
yeah,
good.
Christian.
Guidance portable.
Christian
service.
Knows.
I always thought it was the goblin book snakes, but...
Ew. They're the ones that actually... They're working in your phone right now, figuring out a way to get...
Oh, that's right. That's GPS. They're in a G, yeah.
They're looking at all the old school maps.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Yeah. It's just a bunch of tiny little goblins with all their maps spread out trying to find the way for you. They're huffing and puffing because they're running around the office looking in file cabinets, dealing with the Dewey Decimal System. Frantically scurrying through the archives.
I wonder if, like, new kids even know what they're
No.
You know, I think it's time. I've frequently thought about this, doing a biopic or a biopic, as the kid calls it. Of Dewey. Dewey and inventing his decimal system. That's an untold story.
Of how he came up with these cards.
That's true. That would be a good question to explore. Did he invent the card catalog? Or did he just simply design...
Better question, yeah. Who is this Dewey guy?
Who is this Dewey guy? And how many libraries... How long did it take before he got a library to co-sign on his idea and actually utilize it in their library? That would be interesting.
People, like, he went up to and they were like, this is the fucking dumbest idea I've ever
yeah.
heard in my life.
He's like, look, it's simple. Look, 700s is science. 300s is geology. 200s is art. Do I need to explain more? 243.316. That is obviously Vincent van Gogh. Do you get it or not? It's simple.
You gotta go down aisle 2.
733.1156. Autobiography of Abraham Lincoln. Don't you understand, people, how simple this can be? That's the untold story. He also deserves, that would make a good play, I think, too. Where you see a wall, I'm imagining like a wall, kind of like a Terry Gilliam film, where you see this wall of files, and he's explaining to this librarian, it's almost like an orchestra. You know, he's like, 500s are the oceans, right there, right there, right there. 501 is a rattlesnake, right there. It's simple. Why do I need to explain? It's right there in front of you. 332 is feet. Can't you see how easy it can be? 205 is pencils. I don't understand why you don't get what I'm saying. It's like pulling teeth. Woo, woo. I don't like it, and you don't like it either, so why not just agree? It's simple if you listen to me. And a 1.3.4.5 is something else called a Guinness Book of World Record. Don't you know how easy it can be? Just listen to me. That's right. That'll be the Dewey Decimal Musical. That'll be the first one. It'll be his life. I'd love to know, like, what tipped that off, because he must have liked mathematics. Do you think he liked mathematics?
I think he had OCD.
You think he had undiagnosed OCD?
Yep. Because he needed everything categorized.
Oh, that's good. Perfect. Do you think he was swift with his fingers, like what's his name, John Cusack in Being John Malkovich? Did you see that movie?
Where was he fast in John?
Remember, he was really fast with his fingers with the filing. Fast filing fingers.
I haven't seen John Malkovich forever.
Oh, well, John Cusack.
I do remember saying that it was good.
This is a brief movie review of it. I liked it, by the way. Did you see Being John Malkovich?
I think I saw bits and pieces of it. I probably fell asleep.
Not to be confused with the parody Being John Milkovich, which is about a person who continually enters the brain of a gallon of milk until it's all drank away. That's a parody. But in this Being John Malkovich movie, it's an interesting parallel. They find a portal to John Malkovich's brain. John Cusack, he's working at a company called the Seven... I forgot what the name of the company is, but it's the 7.5 floor. Remember that? They have to wedge the elevator, and they all walk like bent over the whole time because it's like so small. So he's filing. He's really good at filing because of his dexterity, because he's a puppeteer. So I think that's why he's like, brrr, and they're like, wow, you're a great filer. So I imagine you get the scene of the Dewey Decimal movie where you just see close-ups of his fingers, and he's like, brrr. Maybe we can hire the same hand double who did John Cusack.
Yeah.
Do you know who their agent is?
No, I don't.
Do you have their phone number?
No.
If I had an address, would you know how to send a carrier pigeon to them?
Possibly.
There you go. That's all I knew. That's all I knew. Here, I'll help you put it on. Here, can you hold this up for me? Here, I'm going to put that on and help you put it on.
We're gonna be trying to put it on just as all these people are coming out, and we're trying to get on. You know what I mean?
We gotta wait for them anyway.
I'll wait.
Do you know that right now somebody's watching you?
Yeah, Big Brother.
That'd actually be a great segment. You just go up to people in the street. Pardon me. Do you know that someone's watching you? So we're entering the tram. We're entering the tram. Hold on. Like I said, hold on to your hat. You got two hands, so you can hold one on the pole and one on your hat. Watch. Once this thing gets moving, it'll feel like,
it's like
one
a bullet
of those,
train.
Yeah, it'll feel like one of those movies, like Die Hard or something.
Like Die Hard. Where,
yeah, like someone's on the roof, like Batman or something. Like he's up there chasing around Joker or something, having one of those train. Train chases, like on the Wolverine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, before you know it, there's gonna be a claw snickety its way through the ceiling, and Colossus shows up. So listen to that quietness.
Hello, I'm Jim Cuno, president of the Getty. For all of us at the Getty, welcome and enjoy your visit.
Hello, 안녕하세요. 머리가 양 닭다리 사게티. 감사합니다.
안녕하세요. 환영합니다.
환영합니다. 게티 센터에 오신 것을 환영합니다.
In 5 minutes, we'll be at the top of the hill. When you arrive, explore our 5 gallery pavilions, presenting nearly 2,500 years of European art. Stroll the garden, discover modern outdoor sculptures located throughout the grounds, and enjoy panoramic views of Los Angeles. Grab a bite at our casual cafe or coffee carts, or enjoy fine dining in our restaurant. Join free tours of the art, architecture, and gardens, which take place throughout the day. There's always something new to discover with our dynamic array of changing exhibitions. On view now are two exciting shows. Beyond the Nile, Egypt and the Classical World, features the luxury objects of pharaohs, emperors, and kings from Egypt, Rome, and Greece, with sculptures of Egyptian deities and exotic animals, and striking portraits, all demonstrating the cultural connections between these civilizations. Rembrandt and the Inspiration of India shows how paintings and drawings from Mughal India inspired Rembrandt to draw in a new way. When the tram arrives, take the stairs or the elevator up to the plaza level. Friendly staff and volunteers are ready to help. Information, maps, and advice on what to see first. Enjoy your day with us.
Rembrandt, he totally changed his style. He was very traditional at first, and then after he came back from India, he became more twisted, almost a little bit more. Like his stuff became darker, you know.
Did he start meditating?
I think so. Yeah. And they also have like mushrooms out there that like make you trip balls and shit like that, you know. And when in Rome, I would assume he did some, you know. It's kind of like Alexander the Great. Same thing happened to him. Hmm? He got lost in India. Hmm?
Like in the shrooms?
Well, doing opiates and stuff like that. I mean, and just he fell into this darkness, and that's what and inevitably, I think that's what like was Alexander the Great's like downfall. I want to say. Hmm?
That's a piece of history they don't teach in history books.
Definitely. I love that part. I love that part of history.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be an awesome
That's why
subject.
I love my history of art teacher. She would tell you like things that like, you know, like how Van Gogh, he was addicted to opium. You know, so normal traditional classes aren't going to tell you stuff like that. And knowing that now, you look at his work and you're like, oh, totally.
It gives you an interesting lens to look at that through.
Starry Nights, dude. He was probably fucked up. You know, he was chasing the dragon. Hmm? You know?
So the sky was moving and he got to see these sort of plasticky, kind of multi-dimensional.
And plus being able just to play with color because, you know, I mean, you've done acid before, right? Hmm? Yeah. Sorry, I know you can't say. My fault. Edit that part out.
My vitamin C.
But if you paint on it, dude, it's just color. I remember I did colored pencils one time, and I did this Tigger that was like meditating all in green. I made them all like green, but I looked at it the next day, and it was just like I almost bled right through the paper because it was just like all the shades of green, just adding color on color on color. It's going to make everything, like, move and, like, kind of, you know.
Yeah, it's alive.
And you're
going to
see, like, every shade of gray, you know, and shit like that, you know. That's why, like, painting on it and drawing on it is awesome. Which, definitely, if you look at even I would say, like, Monet and stuff like that. That was a huge, like, boom. Opium was huge in, like, France at that time.
Wow, it's so interesting when you can look at it through that lens and look at all the artists at that point once that was a known thing, and then just seeing,
they were able to, they broke out of the traditional, you know, they were playing with color.
It'd be neat to,
We go this way.
It'd be neat to, you know, kind of like with the Beatles with Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Yeah, they got lost
that moment,
India, didn't they?
Psh, yeah, and you see this whole change. It'd be interesting to see which what
John
was the
Lennon kind of found himself. Mm-hmm.
I think so, and George Harrison too.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So like let's think about like that idea like you're saying with the opiates during those times. How interesting would that be? It'd be interesting to see the first painting that came after that experience.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
To see, okay, well, what is that one?
Well, you can see that even with Van Gogh and Monet because their first paintings are very, like, structured. They learned it in school, you know what I mean? They're, like, perfect.
Very disciplined,
you know?
Right?
Yeah.
Trying to be theory
and afterwards, they were... Afterwards, then they just started just fucking around, you know? I don't know. I'm not a big Picasso fan, so I don't even want to give him credit. But even with him, he changed too, though. But I think he was more like daring to be different, you know. Kind
of
like
real
Dali.
Quick as this
Dali,
is happening.
Dali,
speaking right. of Dali, as you're saying that, there's this huge, a very tall statue. It's probably 8 feet tall of a naked little child holding a frog upside down. So that seems very Dalinian, right?
But is
very
it
synchronistic.
Art?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess anything is up to the lens through which it's looked.
Especially New Age art, man. Like, the one guy that, like,
he
cuts animals in half and puts them in, like, little big boxes of formaldehyde.
Oh, no.
And then he calls it art.
Oh, no.
It's not really art to me, bro. You just cut an animal in half, you know, and, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, the inside looks really cool and trippy, but, I mean, you didn't really do anything. You just stuck it in a box and formaldehyde.
You took credit for something that already was created.
Yeah. God created it.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw Snatch.
If you had to think about it, you're not going to remember the character, but one of the characters, he had like gold teeth and he had like blonde hair and stuff like that. He's a real famous DJ in like England.
And so he's friends with Banksy?
Yeah, which is the white dude on Massive Attack.
And so?
I'm an idiot, don't remember his name. Short-term memory.
It's always less important to the... people who know a secret identity, it's less important to them than the ones who are trying to keep the secret identity.
I think that also it's Massive Attack's huge to the following people that like love their music, you know what I mean? They're not like, you mention Massive Attack to a normal person, they're gonna be like, what? I don't know what the hell you're talking about, you know? I'm sure Jenny never heard of it until I played it for her, you know? And
first time I discovered him was Tom York did a song with him, which was awesome.
Which song was it? Karma Coma?
What's another one? That does sound familiar.
Well, they're
I think the video looked like it was cars driving in a tunnel, I think, from what
York,
I
York, you said?
Tom York from Radiohead.
Yeah.
It might have been that. I don't know.
He would totally do one, yeah. It's definitely his, you know, they're like a melodic, they're trip-hop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm showing my age by saying that.
Well, there's a time when LimeWire was out there, and I have to admit, I had it downloaded, and I downloaded every Massive Attack album there was.
LimeWire?
Yes. Yeah. But so you're saying that Banksy's in Massive Attack?
Yeah.
Is there any actual true confirmation that that's the case?
He would never.
Did the DJ
that.
At all?
That would ruin his whole, the nostalgia of it.
Right, well, did the DJ ever truly say, yes, this is truly it?
No, but the way he said it was totally like, and everybody kind of figured it was, because people are like, who's Banksy, you know? They even did a documentary on it.
Yeah.
Know?
Oh, yeah, that was great.
People
Exit Gift Shop.
People noticed that, like, every one of his pieces... Massive Attack did a show at, you know what I mean? Like the
It was almost like a serial killer giving clues as to what his next thing was, huh? Like Jack the Ripper, but with music and art.
Artistic wise, I mean, he's not the best in the world, but I mean, I like his stuff, man. His stuff's cool.
They really do make you think, and the thing is they're actually showing the truth of what's happening.
They're so simple too, you know. Yeah. I mean,
he's juxtaposing things that are similar, you know, analogous of one another, and you see this and you're going, uh-oh, now you're confronted with this. You're like, okay, do I want to co-sign on this idea?
He's a political graffiti artist, is what they say, or street artist, I think is what they call him. You know, because all of his stuff is kind of political, you know. But, no, I dig his stuff, man. I love his exhibits, you know. I would love to see one of his exhibits, dude, because they're only up for, like, a short amount of time, you know. Even, like, Jenny, we saw that documentary on there where he did that one in, like, New York, you know, and it was, like, because all the people that are involved in the exhibits never meet him. They go from, like, they're paid from a secondhand person, you know what I mean? Because they all question them afterwards, who did this, you know? But in New York, they had this guy that was, like, the Grim Reaper in a bump, you know, like a go-kart bump cart, you know?
Hold on, I gotta record this wild audio.
Regular. Just regular drip coffee. How many did you say?
Three.
This size okay or larger?
No, that's good size.
Huh? Three coffees? Anything else?
No, thank you.
1081. 1081 out of 20.
Part of the brotherhood,
huh, bro? Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Assassin's Creed, man. Yeah. The new one was awesome.
19, I haven't played it. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I didn't have a job at the time, so I wasn't able to buy it.
Totally played it, bro.
Have a good night. And you got the cup, right?
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Here,
oh, great, thank you.
So,
There you go. You get to experience this up close and personal. Up close and personal. You are not escaping. What kind of coffee are you getting?
Just regular.
So you're not going for decaf today?
That's okay.
See, a latte. That's just my coffee humor. That's just my personal coffee humor. Soy milk? They might have soy milk.
Ain't no harm in asking.
They cut fly wings and put it on the jewels so they'll sparkle. Yeah. And if you see gold, it's actual real gold blended into the paint.
Yeah, because we saw that one as a gold flakes.
And you'll see in the paintings as well as angels will start to appear. Yeah. And they're taking it from India. And like what you'll find out later is like there's one or two in these leaves, not at this exhibit, but Raphael's angels are mimicked.
Okay. That's really awesome.
It's neat, like little Easter eggs, you know, like little nods to each other.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that I liked is like when I went to my master's program, I was studying Mughal and Ottoman, and what I like is when cultures collide and get together, and so how things change and influence.
Definitely.
And so,
yeah, it did big time.
Yeah. It's because what started is like I'm from Texas, and my high school was very eclectic. So when I went to, but we didn't, you know, you get American history and you get like the three major, like British, German, French history, Italy, and Greece. We don't, like, you barely cover China, you barely cover India, but a lot of my classmates were from there. So when I went to college, like in world history, I studied each of my friends' backgrounds. And that's when I stumbled into this. And I had an ex-boyfriend that was Turkish that ended up being the name of three of the sultans. So that's what
It sounds like you experienced a lot of cosmic stuff that kind of surrounds this.
Huh?
Did he ever call you Bebek?
No.
Isn't that baby in Turkish? But he keeps like the traditional like Hindu faces though. That's
right.
How it sounds like the almost like blank stares, you know?
Right.
Like even with like today's.
Yeah, Persian may be at the start of the three quarter, but it's definitely like the shading and stuff, and like the backgrounds are starting to like dissipate. And then Shah Jahan and Jahangir would be the epitome of the style. And Shah Jahan is the one who built the Taj Mahal. And so, like, if his
woman.
Yeah, his grandfather, Akbar, built Humayun's tomb, who's pictured in that image over there, and Akbar is over there, that Humayun's tomb is a red sandstone, white marble, semi-structure of the Taj Mahal. But when you realize it's the Persian, they're right next to each other.
So
you'll know that they're...
He did it so...
Supposed
to build a black one across the big like thing.
Yeah, but they're also thinking that may have just been the shadow. So that's like the whole black part is kind of confusing, but his son overthrew him and was the religious zealot and is the one that India then fell to the British Empire.
Yeah, it's on a huge top of the bucket list to see that. Yeah. Have you seen it?
No. That's the before I die, I have to see Humayun's tomb. And Taj Mahal, which is right next to me.
I would say it's in general, it's like top of the bucket.
But you have to be careful the time of year to go, and that's one thing also to say is like, yeah, and you're likely to get a disease of some sort. So those are people say go later in life. Because like even like my old boss, she went to India and got really sick. Right, and so you really didn't, like when I studied Indian language as well in undergrad, and the teacher was like, she won't recommend anybody.
You gotta make sure you bring a boat.
To go. And one of my friends was Indian, when he went back, he got really sick with the...
I got really sick when I was in South Africa. It totally destroyed me, actually me and my sister.
Also, at my grad school, she was in West Africa, and the one time they did do the tablet, she got sick. And it was like 6 weeks.
And you gotta think that, like, they always tell you to always use bottled water, you know, but you go to a restaurant, they're not using bottled water.
Oh.
So, even not just the water, but everything, food in general.
Well, I knew one couple that they traveled around the world, and they said anytime they travel, they always went vegetarian, because you're less likely to get sick.
Don't they either use water between the vegetables?
Well, there's still nuances. but...
That's awesome.
Yeah, I just, like, the direct link with Brené Brown was, like, when I saw the exhibit, it's like, well, I'll have to go.
Wow, that is incredible.
Yeah.
Any chance I get, no, don't ever get to use it.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
That's it, you know, but...
So what time is it open till?
So we're open until 9 o'clock. We open at 10. So, I mean, we just started... On Saturdays, we just started doing that. But then on Fridays, we're doing it as well. It's like the summer hours that they do.
Thank you. And what time do you start in the morning?
10 a.m. Well, as officers, we start at 9:30.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so I'm here from 9:30 to 9:30.
Now, are you a fan of art?
I mean... I guess so, yeah. I mean, but I don't know. Like, things... The only one I know is, like, Van Gogh. That's it. I mean, that's...
I'm sure by working here, you've learned to appreciate a lot of this stuff, right?
Honestly,
like, whoa, like, a great education.
Honestly, like, seeing things, it, like, trips me out where it's like, dang, like, people are really that talented or just... Like, I don't know how people come up with things like this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been to the Villa before?
No. But that was the first one, right?
Yeah,
and then
that
this became the second
one. That one is crazy. Like, that one is actually really cool.
It's smaller, right?
Way
in Malibu,
smaller.
If I'm
Malibu,
not mistaken.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was, like, Mr. Getty's, like, first... Like, that was his house, actually. So
oh, so he lived in his own art gallery, basically.
Yeah. It wasn't, like, an art gallery at first, but then, like, after that, like, he made it into that. So I always think that one's cool. It's way better than here, just because this one, it's too big, you know, but... I don't know. What else would you like to know?
Okay, so this is what I want to know is, I'm sure there are certain artists that you grew up like reading either, you know, an art class or history class or something, and now they come through here. Has that happened before? Where you're like, oh my God, that's that painting I remember from reading about in history or something.
It's crazy that when I was little, I used to come to field trips here, and that's what trips me out, because I, like, walking through here, it's like, all right, I remember this, but it's like the only ones I honestly remember as a little kid was Van Gogh and Picasso. That's the only thing. But they took down the Picasso here because someone did art damage.
No
way. And they had
to
put it away, yeah.
Were you working here when that happened or before you got here?
That was way before that I was even here, so.
What happens when someone does something like that?
When it's an art damage, it depends on how big the art damage is. So, say it's a scratch on it, like the curators or I forgot what the name is, that the people that fix our art.
Oh yes, like restoration artists, basically.
Go, huh? They usually see what they can fix, but I'm guessing like the people that do the art damage, they get a fine for it, and I think they.
I mean, this is like something that is like some of these things are made way back in the 1800s, even further back in 1600s.
Yeah, you can't even replace any of this, so that's why it's like we're here because people. From like the foreigners, they think that since it's like they think it's fake, so they think they can like touch things. And,
oh.
Yeah.
They think it's fake.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so that's why like if you see like a lot of people like touching it because they think that in their country, it's okay to do that. So.
Oh.
It's weird, yeah.
Are there signs that say don't touch the art?
So, I mean. In a museum, it's like you wouldn't want people coming inside your house and touching things, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's pretty like, what's the word for it? It's just common sense not to touch things or like the ropes. People still touch it even if there's ropes. Or like the little things. Or if you notice like carefully around the galleries, you'll see like the different colors of the wood. And that's pretty much like the boundary line. Like. To have it, but people don't notice those.
Like
things.
Sort of a psychological kind of.
So like right here, you can see like the difference. Like this is dark wood.
Right.
You see how it is. So like pretty much this would be a safe distance from the art right here.
Oh right, right.
But people don't look at that. But every time like I catch someone, I'll be like, look, take a look at this, and then.
That's good because I'm one of those people who gets close to see the details and like
because
that's fascinating, you know.
Like, you know, but then people start pointing.
Oh geez, that's.
And then it's just like they don't understand when they get offended when I'm like, hey, please don't point or you know you're too close, and they're like, why? It's because if say I'm pointing, someone pushes me, my finger goes through the thing,
oh,
you know.
God,
so
yeah.
It's a lot of things that people don't understand that you know, but.
Has any of this inspired you to make any of your own art?
I am not an artistic person. Like, I can do stick figures, that's it. But it has, just, like, sculptures, most definitely. Or just seeing, like, the back history, it has. Like, it's crazy. Just being here, and being at the villa, it's opened my eyes a lot, like a lot with different things, or just like hearing the docents. The docents are the people that walk around and give the tours. It's crazy on how back like the history is, like what the real meaning of these paintings are, or like how they were found, or how much money like the actual Getty spends on it. Like crazy stuff.
Well, thank you so much, Shirley. Right?
Shirley.
Thank you so much. And what's your official title here?
I'm security officer.
Oh, very good. Did they give you a taser gun?
No, I wish. They just gave us a flashlight, and that's it. I guess that's all we need to be safe.
Yeah, oh, yeah, just shine a light in their eyes,
exactly.
Okay? Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And gentlemen, is something, it's a, what you're hearing is a player piano, something heard called pianographs, new music for the player piano inspired by Paper Promises, early American photography. Now, it was just done over a brochure, but this is a player piano, and there are pianos laid about on a carpet, and people are watching this player piano make piano music. It's quite interesting, especially after I saw in the gift shop those little tiny, this reminds me of that. I just, you know, the little cranking thing I did. Oh. What's neat too is off to the left from where I'm standing, there's a projector screen. Apparently there's a video camera on it somewhere, so to the left is a projector screen so you could see it. Wherever you're standing.
This is by Corey Fogle, and it's called About to Reach a Kind of Maw.
This woman is now pulling down like a typewriter. Pulling a little sheet, and she's about to hit play, winding it like a typewriter. The sheet of music is the ribbon of ink. Uh-oh, here we go. The piano keys. Three letters.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.